At Theater Aquarius last at a tribute for Lou, and I was talking to him, and then I saw he was just sort of laughing. I thought, oh, I know why he's laughing, because he's thinking this is Brian exactly as he was when I was 15. And he just thought he was having this sort of time travel. We always sort of kept up a little bit anyway on Facebook. It was always good to see what he was doing, because he was out there, you know, living the dream that we all wished or thought we might want to do sometime anyway. It was always great to see him.
Linda, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners about Nick and what you're going to miss the most?
I think we'll all miss seeing someone doing something that they were very happy to be doing, that they loved doing. I'm feeling really badly for his wife, obviously, and his son. We got to know him back when. We're just going to miss seeing what he could have done, because, you know, he was just really getting going, I think.
Dean, what are you going to miss the most about Nick?
I mean, I'm learning more about him through hearing you, all of you. He's certainly the type of guy I wish I had known more. I've been really sort of haunted this week. I'm a dad of four. It's hard. You know, the day that Nick died, my oldest turned 19. The idea of him having such a small child and a wife, and that's so sad. But I'm very pleased that I got to work with him the time that I did.
Angela, what are you going to miss the most about Nick?
I think the sentiments that Linda and Dean all talked about. But yeah, I really feel for his wife, Amanda, and his son, Elvis, because he just turned one. And, you know, for as proud that we were of Nick's accomplishments on Broadway, I was just as proud or even more happy for him when he found love at that later age and got married and then had a kid. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so wonderful. Because he and Amanda, and they were just so happy. And then I also know his sister-in-law, Annie, because she did shows at HGI and married Nick's brother. And their little daughter is just a couple days younger than Elvis. And to have lost his father, and then Annie lost her dad, and then now Nick, that family, I just grieve for that whole family, their heartbreak. And I admire his wife, Amanda. I wish I knew her in person, because I don't know about you, but I feel like I know her because she shared this whole chronicle of what they've been going through. And I just admire her strength and, man, love her, because I just hope that with her family around her, which I know they are, and Leslie, I know she's surrounded by lots of love, and I'm hoping all that love, you know, just carries them through this.
Christine, did you have any final thoughts you wanted to share?
He was just one of those special people. And I really liked having him in my life. You know, I wanted to be able to see him again. I always thought I would. Oh, I'm going to miss him.
Tina?
Gonna miss his smile, but we're so lucky that we live in the age that we live now, that we still get to see it. We still get to see his talent. And I just think back to that first show, Chess, that I did with him when he was gangly and awkward and he couldn't walk with opposition arms, and then seeing him tap dance on TV and just being blown away by that. We get to keep that. We're so lucky, right? I think we just need to keep singing and dancing wherever we are, doing whatever we are, because that's what he'd want us to do. So,
Selena, is there any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners about Nick?
I'm going to miss his music. I think there was just a deep well of talent that he did not even get to show us. I still listen to Live Your Life every single day. I think that he gave us all a gift about living in the moment. I think he did exactly that. Everything that Nick did was passionate. The way he was on stage, the way he cared for his family, the type of father that he was, the type of husband that he was. And I admire that. And I think one of the biggest takeaways from his journey was to remind myself that I need to jump into life just a little bit more. I'm going to miss that passion, because I think the world is without, it's not quite as bright without him.
And Regina, I don't want to forget you.
I think the potential that he had to do really wonderful things in the world, and to have been able to go back to Hamilton. And I mean, I could just see him when he's in his mid-50s and 60s, like the Nick Cordero School of the Arts. So I'm just really sad that we're going to miss what could have been.
And I, too, was on stage with Nick in Meet Me in St. Louis, my favorite year, and Boys from Syracuse with HTI, and Chess with the Theater Aquarius Summer School program. But I got to know him, strangely, even better later on in life, because his parents went to the same church as me. And so I would always get these regular updates on what's going on with Nick. They were just so proud of their kid. And sadly, his father passed away just a couple of years ago. Brian, you told me a beautiful story about his father, Eduardo, watching him during rehearsal at HTI.
The audition for My Favorite Year, for example, we would be up in the green room, and there was a set of windows you could actually see into the hall, but we always kept the drapes drawn. We said, no, you can't look, you can't watch. No, that's not fair to anybody. And then you know, Mr. Cordero, Eduardo, would just sort of sneak over and sort of pull them apart. And you'd say, oh, and then you just eventually gave up because you knew he wasn't doing it to spy on him or to see what was happening. He was looking through those things because he was just sort of in awe or, you know, in wonder that his son was down there doing it. He'd come to pick his son up sometimes, and he'd be up in the green room just sort of watching. It was amazing that he'd just show up and do that.
I do take some complicated comfort in knowing that him and his father, Eduardo, are together again. I'll hold that. Thank you, Tina, Christine, Brian, Selena, Linda, Dean, Angela, and Regina, all for sharing your stories and memories of your time with Nick at Hamilton Theater, Inc. I know that the theater company has changed their marquee to honor and celebrate Nick's life, and as did Theater Aquarius as well. Nick's feeling the love from the theater community here in Hamilton. So thank you, everybody. And stay safe and keep well, and we're going to all hold Nick in our hearts.
When I was younger, just a bad some funny things I did, like shooting puppies with a BB gun. I poisoned guppies when I was done. I found a pussycat dressed in his head. That's what my mama said.
What did she say?
She said, my boy, I think someday you'll have a name to do that you can anticipate. You'll be a dentist.
Yeah.
Talent for causing things pain.
Hey!
Some be a dim.
Some be a dim.
Most of pain to be inhumane.
Inhumane.
Your temperament's wrong for the priesthood. And teaching would suit you still that. Some be a dim.
I'm over the moon. I can't believe it. You know, I watched it on TV with everyone else. 8:15, my eyes shot open, tired though I was. And yeah, can't believe it. I was on the phone with my mom seconds later, and she was bawling, and I was trying to hold it in and not very successful. But it's a dream come true. I'm playing Cheech in Bullets Over Broadway, which is a Woody Allen movie turned into a musical directed by Susan Stroman. I mean, he's just such a master at the form, and, you know, I got a chance, when the opening night party, he was walking out as I was walking in, and I got a chance to thank him personally for, you know, trusting me with the role of Cheech, because, you know, I'm an unknown actor, especially at the time, and, you know, and he was very supportive and complimentary, and I'll never forget that moment in the hallway at the Met. My God. Crazy. I adore Susan Stroman. Susan and the girls in our show, too, are, you know, they've been so supportive, and I don't know, what can I say? It's a tough gig. Somebody's got to do it. Just to be there, you know, is really such an honor and such a celebration of everyone's work. And the work is at such a high level this year that, you know, it's, I can't wait.
Good This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
You're listening to Center Stage, a celebration of musicals from both the stage and screen on 101.5 FM The Hawk. I'm your host, Lila Miklosh. This special two-hour edition of the show is in celebration of Hamilton Theater star Nick Cordero, who passed away from complications due to COVID-19. You just heard him as the dentist in the Kennedy Center's 2018 production of Little Shop of Horrors, followed by a promotional segment he did for the Tony Awards, the year he was nominated for his role in Bullets Over Broadway. Our next conversation is with two people who first got to know and work with Nick Cordero when they were all students together at Westdale Secondary School.
You're listening to Center Stage, a celebration of musicals from both the stage and screen. I'm your host, Lila Miklosh, and we've been speaking with people who knew and worked with Nick in Hamilton's theater community. And on the line with me right now are Daphne Mowens, who's calling me from Kitchener-Waterloo, and Aidan Johnson, who's calling me from St. Catharines. Both of them were students at Westdale Secondary School with Nick and did shows with him there. And Daphne also did shows with him with New Faces and Theater Aquarius. Daphne, I'll start with you. What do you remember the most about your time working with Nick back in the day?
I look at pictures and I can't believe how young we were when we did all these shows together. My most vivid memory of Nick is actually the first time I met him. It was the very first person I met when I had started my first day at Westdale. We were in our first class of the day together, and he walked straight up to me and just looked at me and said, "Hey, you're new. What's your story?" And with a big smile on his face, that just kind of speaks volumes. He is that guy who will go up to the new kid in the class and make them feel good and welcome them and just try to get to know them. That says a lot about who he was as a person. He was always interested in you and what you were up to and genuinely curious about people. That kind of amazing person, wanted to make people feel welcome and warm as soon as he met them.
Aidan, what do you remember about your time with Nick at Westdale?
I remember Nick being a genius. In grade 9, we were in a play which was like a mishmash of Broadway songs. There was no plot. There was no talking. It was all singing and all dancing. And Nick sang this big part from Guys and Dolls. And I remember like watching Nick and realizing, this is it. This is star quality. This is mindful Buddha of the stage. He was powerful, magnetic, beautiful, incredible presence, charisma. Oh, just magic. It breaks my heart that the shining star is not with us anymore. It's just unfair and cruel and a loss to the universe. And I'm sad because he's just too young, 41 years old. He was just reaching his prime, one Tony nomination, all the future ahead of him as an artist. And to have that taken away from us is just an unspeakable loss.
Daphne, you went on to become a professional actor, and you'll have an even greater appreciation for where Nick went with his career. How does it feel to have been a part of that?
I am very proud of the people that I grew up with and that we all sort of went on and pursued these careers in a really tough industry. Whenever I would hang out with Nick, meet up in Hamilton, you know, I would just say to him, like, oh my gosh, you did it. You said you would in high school. And it's true. Again, that's another like very vivid memory I have is Nick saying to me, I'm going to be a star. It wasn't said with any sort of cockiness. It was said with a lot of just truth. He said to me, it's the only thing I can do, so I'm going to do it. I don't have another choice. And I just always thought that was so powerful because he was really drawn to it and it was happening no matter what. And he went in and created that reality. And he worked hard. I remember him telling me about the process of getting, you know, his visas and all that to go work in the States. And that's no easy feat. Casey's down there, he's down there, and people can do it, but it's not simple. And I think I'm part of a group of people that I'm sure gets told by their parents, friends, hey, why don't you just go down to Broadway and see what happens there? I think we've all kind of experienced that. And we sort of laugh and go, it's so hard. But Nick was so committed to that dream that he was doing it no matter what. I feel very proud of being a part of that community that all did sort of go out there and do it for real, but especially proud of Nick because I know it wasn't easy and he really just did it.
Aiden, you were once a city councillor for us and now you are the head of legal aid for the Niagara region. Do you understand that sense of drive of having a sense of where you need to go when you were a teenager and going for that goal?
Oh, and just a very quick correction. I'm the executive director of the Niagara Community Legal Clinic, proudly funded by Legal Aid Ontario. And your question is kind of overwhelming in that you're inviting me to think of how I've drawn inspiration from Nick, really. The answer is I would definitely say that from Nick, I drew inspiration. I think I gained a sense of how to command a stage a little bit from Nick. A colleague on city council, when I was on city council, sometimes remarked that politics is show business for ugly people. I am the exception that proves the rule in that I'm very beautiful. But I think what I learned from Nick is really something of stage presence for sure. The idea that it's an intimate exchange at its best. If you are truly communicating with an audience, connecting with an audience, there is an exchange of intimacy. There just is an intimacy. When I listen now, I've been listening throughout the pandemic to Nick's audio recording, Live Your Life, outstanding songs that he has transmuted through his unique alchemy into the highest kind of beauty. I urge anyone listening who hasn't listened to Nick Cordero's Live Your Life to go listen. This is intimacy. I think Nick did teach me some tricks that I carry with me. And how can I put this? He's an inspiration to all of us and always will be. That's why we mourn right now.
Daphne, when you think about Nick, what is it that you're going to miss?
You know, this whole thing has really put me in a place of remembering what it was like to grow up with him and all the good times. There's a lot of us that have reconnected since learning about Nick. I think that what is making all of us very sad right now is remembering our childhoods, growing up with Nick, and we've all really reconnected over this tragedy. We've gone back to our friends from our teenage years, and we're sharing these stories, and it makes us so sad because when you remember your childhood, there's a little bit of a sadness that comes over you already, but knowing that our friend, like the one that we hung out with at theater school parties and we sang with and we goofed around with, we would hang out and he would jam on his guitar and all that sort of very innocent, childish kind of fun that we had. That's what makes us sad, right? Is the reminiscing and the going back to those good old days. I think that whenever I saw Nick, I was always transported back to that feeling. On top of that, the thing I'll miss most is that when he looked at you, it didn't matter if you were somebody famous or not famous. And I know this sounds a bit cliche, but he made you feel beautiful and important, like you were the center of his universe for that conversation. To have somebody give you that kind of attention when they have this huge career and this huge life outside of you, it really felt special. That was, I think, his gift, is that he could be friends with anybody. He made everybody feel good. Lou was just talking about how it didn't matter how big a career Nick had developed. When he saw you and you were from Hamilton and from his good old days, it was just Nick. There was no pretense. There was no ego. There was nothing attached to it. It was just pure. People don't want to work with somebody, especially in our business, that can be very tough. People don't want to work with somebody who's really talented, but they're a big jerk. They want to work with somebody kind and generous. I think that has been the biggest tragedy to the theater community, is that those people are rare and they're special. And that was Nick, and we lost one. It's a tragedy, and it's completely unfair, and he had so much more to work to do in this world and so much more love to give.
Aiden, when you think about Nick, what do you think his legacy is going to be?
I think it is a legacy of love, in that through his artwork, he inspired people to love themselves and love others, which takes a very unique power. And in his personal life, he was a friend. He was, I know, a caring son and dad and husband. He radiated a goodness. And that's a legacy that touches so many lives. He could never have known how much and how many. That's his legacy.
Thank you, Daphne and Aiden. Are there any final thoughts you wanted to share with our listeners before I let you go?
It may be tempting to think that we are going over the top, talking about how much we love Nick. because we lost him. I think it's important for people to understand that's not what's happening. He was genuinely this person, and we're not putting him on some sort of a pedestal because of how he passed. We are putting him there because of the human being he was on this earth. I know one of his friends said he got his angel wings back when he left because he was already that. He was already an angel with us, and it's true. I don't know a single person who said they didn't like Nick Cordero. That's a rare feat in this life to have people who couldn't say a bad thing about you. I think it's really important that this is the truth. This is not some sort of, you know, overcompensation for something. This is really who he was. I love him. I'll miss him.
And he worked hard.
He did.
Thank you, Daphne. Thank you, Aiden. I really appreciate you sharing your stories about Nick Cordero with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lila.
Daphne, I send you love. Lila, I send you love. Talk to you another day.
Remember my clean shave back in our old days when we were just kids. I had my sixth string and you had your own thing, though I don't remember what it is. I wrote your love songs and you liked that sad one, so I played it all the time. Sun don't shine. No, that can't be it. When the sun won't shine. What was it, baby?
Till the sun don't shine, you will still be mine.
That's right. Man, what a whirlwind. So much is happening. To me, we've come such a long way. Don't turn it back now, babe. You're my family. Now promise me, till the end of time, these are ties that bind. Sing it, honey.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
You grew up in Canada,
yeah.
In Ontario, Canada. When did you decide that you wanted to be in the theatre? Do you remember when you were a kid? Was it a teacher? Was it?
Yeah, frankly, I think it was when I saw Les Mis in Toronto as a kid.
Who did you want to be?
Well, I don't know. I was about 10.
So you were deciding, would you want to be Little Gavroche?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It was more about the music and the way that that story was told and the impact it had on me as a young age. I remember clearly leaving the theater and saying to my mother that that's what I wanted to do. And she said, it'll be the hardest thing you ever have to do.
And she was right.
She was right, but behind me the whole way.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
I'm Lila McLoach, and this is a special two-hour edition of Center Stage on 101.5 FM The Hawk in celebration of the late Nick Cordero, Broadway star, but more importantly, a dearly loved member of Hamilton's theater arts community. You heard him sing along with Jesse Mueller, You Will Be Mine, from the original Broadway cast recording of Waitress. That was then followed by a short snippet from an interview he did with Imogene Lloyd Webber on the show One-on-One for the Broadway Channel. Throughout this special episode, we have listened to conversations with those who worked with him in Hamilton's theater community. Our next conversation is another with alumni of Theater Aquarius's summer school program under the leadership of Pauline and Lou Zambrogna.
You're listening to Center Stage, a celebration of musicals from both the stage and screen. I'm your host, Lila Miklosh, on 101.5 The Hawk. And tonight's show is in celebration of Hamilton's Nick Cordero. And we've been talking with many of the different theater communities he's been a part of in Hamilton. And on the line with me right now is Dom Zamprogna from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Dom.
Hey, Lila.
Matt Stewart, who's calling us from Kelowna, B.C. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Lila.
Dave White, who's calling us from Hamilton, Ontario. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Lila. How's it going?
It's going okay, thanks, Dave. And Tina Traney, who's calling us from Ottawa, Ontario. Hello, Tina.
Hey, Lila.
All of us are graduates of the Theatre Aquarius Summer School program, and I feel like I need to throw the baton to Dom first, because this is a program that your mother and father, Pauline and Lou Zamprogna, birthed, and you also were a part of. Dom, talk to us about your experience working with Nick in the Theatre Aquarius Summer School program.
Well, you know, I felt like I had no place in that show. I was like 14 years old, and I was the exact opposite of someone like Nick. Nick's like 6'5", and I was like 4'0", and he was all like bones and lank, and I was like this short little dude whose voice is barely moved yet, you know? But I just remember Nick being, you know, I remember him more in recent years than I do from back then. I just remember hearing him sing for the first time. I mean, that dude, he had the most incredible voice I've ever heard out of anyone, especially at that age when, you know, you don't hear people with that kind of talent in front of you. You know what I mean? Like in your hometown, like just showing up, standing next to you and opening their mouth and basically putting everybody in awe in their talent. And that's just, I mean, that was my first impression of him, was his height and his ability, man, because he was a special guy back then.
Matt, you were in Chess with Nick in the Theatre Aquarius Summer School program. What do you remember most about your experiences working with Nick?
There were two things. The very first time I heard him sing, I was like, where is his voice coming from? Because he was just so skinny. I just wanted to always feed him every time we saw him. But one of the things that for me will always stick out is that was the year I came out, and it was a very difficult time for me. I'll never forget, you know, backstage, he just, I don't know how he knew, but something, and he came up and he just gave me this big hug and said, I've got you, brother. You're going to be okay. And that has always stuck with me. Just if I can just add one more thing, when I was going through cancer treatment, it was around the time that I think he got nominated, and he was on, they were playing him on the radio. I think the CBC was playing him. And I just remember sitting there at Princess Margaret in Toronto and listening. And I'm like, I can't believe I shared the stage with this guy. Here he is being nominated. And, you know, we're listening to him absolutely crushing it. And that will always stick with me because that was such a wonderful moment during, you know, two hard, difficult times in my life. Big thanks to him for being there with me, even though he didn't know it.
Oh, that's beautiful, Matt. Thank you. Dave, what do you remember most about your time with Nick at Theatre Aquarius Summer School? And you were in Chess and Evita with him.
Yes, I was. I remember during Chess, they were blocking the Arbiter song, Play the Arbiter in Chess. And I just remember watching him and Tina and Stephanie Tice blocking the scene. Wow, these three are moving like one. Like, Chess was Nick's first year at Theatre Aquarius, and it was mine too. And I was just like, how is this his first year? Because he was so smooth and so good. I thought he had been there for like a couple years before that, because he just seemed to, you know how to do everything, like sing and dance and act. And I was like, wow. And I was just in awe. Easy. He's making everything look, knocking it out of the park.
And you also got to see him play the role of Che, and I think he was only 15 when he played that role. What was that like?
It was just really exciting to watch him work, because he like totally engulfed that part. He was always very down to earth. He never really was like, you know, great, this is awesome. You know, he was always so humble like that. But yeah, he was excellent.
Tina, you had the privilege of working with him at Theatre Aquarius and at HTI. What do you remember the most about your time on stage with Nick?
I'd have to start with being his, I think I was on his left side as an arbiter's assistant in Chess. And so literally Stephanie and I spent the entire month of rehearsals and performances standing on either side of Nick. You think about a kid that young, and his role was quite serious, and we did a lot of just standing there and having to look serious, and he never broke. And we tried. We tried to get this kid to break while we were standing there in rehearsal, and he would never break. He was so focused on doing the best possible job that he could in everything that he did. And it was part of why I dragged him along to HTI the next time they were looking for.
We have you to thank for why Nick became part of HTI too.
I'm sure there were lots of people who dragged him along, like Dave Baylor and Brenda and those guys, but it's like, oh, you gotta come, man. And just having so much fun in the chorus, you know, in My Favorite Year, in Boys from Syracuse. It takes somebody with a true love for the theater to play second dancing guy on the left and Che Guevara. He would do all of that and would sit in the dressing room and make us laugh for days while we waited to go on. And it was always fun, but he was very serious. It was kind of those two sides of him, just knowing how to make people comfortable around him. I went to see him in New York in 2017, and I thought, ah, this guy's famous. He doesn't care. You know, yeah. Like, look, I'll go to the stage door and maybe see him. And they were doing a radio show with Chaz that night, and I thought, ah, he's going to be too busy. You know, I kind of got in the cab to go away, and out comes Nick from the stage door, and he's like, looking around, and I was like, oh my God, stop the cab. I got out and I went running. He was like, hey, it's ready. And I was like, oh my God. And it was,
aww.
It was amazing. My boyfriend was with me and he's like, you really do know him. And I was like, I think it's really the other way around that he cared so much about everybody. You look at all these famous friends that he has, and then he came running to me and wanted to go for a drink. And I thought that was just lovely.
Dom, you said that you kept in touch with him over the years. You know him more in his adult life than when you were kids. Can you talk to us a little bit about your more recent memories of Nick and your time together with him?
Well, we kept in touch over the years. We always just kept checking in with each other. But yeah, for some reason, when you hang out with people at impressionable ages, you keep in touch with them, you know? And so, what was it, in 2014 especially, well, first of all, he came and sang at my mom's celebration of life in Hamilton, which was amazing, you know? Like, when my dad's like, oh, we should reach out to Nick, I was like, yeah, he's pretty busy, you know? And he, like, without skipping a beat, he was like, I'll be there. He kept coming in and out of our lives, you know, my family's life. And I remember he came back to our house afterwards, and, you know, he's like, I better take off. I got to, like, fly back to New York. And so I walked him downstairs, and we talked for about almost an hour on the front porch, just about where he was and where I was. And I was on the soul that he was doing Bullets Over Broadway. And he's like, I want to get to LA. I'm like, oh, it's funny you say that. I want to get to New York. And he's like, yeah, the grass is always sort of greener sort of thing. And we're like, okay, let's keep it this. And I get nominated for an Emmy. And like literally the same day or the day after, the day before, I forget, he gets nominated for his first Tony Award. So we text each other about that. And then there's just been so many instances over the years where randomly he'll just reach out and be like, hey, man, keep moving, keep doing stuff. The ceiling's constantly rising, you know? And I'm like, man, you're right. Because this business is tough, you know? You get down. And someone like Nick, for some reason, if he did, he didn't show it, man. I mean, I'm sure he had, you know, moments. But, man, that guy was resilient and positive. And every time we texted, it was like, keep moving, keep going. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, of course. And he'd be like, oh, I'm just recording new songs. I'm like, amazing. Of course you are. You can't live life like this, but you regret. You know, when my mom died, I regretted not being home more. Something like this tragedy happens to someone, such a great human being. And my dad was here in September, and he's like, oh, is Nick here yet? And I said, I think so, but I haven't heard yet. So I said, I'll text him. And somehow I got distracted, and I didn't text him until, like, January, because life is just ridiculous. And I'm like, dude, where are you? And he's like, I'm here. I'm like, let's hang out. He's like, yes, let's do that. I've been meaning to text you. He's like, I'll hit you up. I'm like, great. And the next thing I hear is he's in the hospital. It's just weird how, I don't know, life is weird and you never know what's going to happen. And hug everyone, you know, and tell people you love them because you never freaking know.
Matt, if you were to share with our listeners what you're going to miss most about Nick, what would it be?
One thing about being backstage, you know, we all get really close to each other, and he was really great for giving hugs backstage, so that's something I'm definitely going to miss.
Dave, what are you going to miss the most?
There was just so much about him that was good and great, and I'm not just talking talent, but he was just like an all-around good person. He liked everybody. He listened to whatever anybody had to say. Like, he didn't just phone it in as a friend or anything like that. He actually cared about everyone, like, just, you know, making sure that everyone felt like they mattered. That's what I always took away from my experiences with Nick and watching him, is that if he was interacting with somebody, he was always truly present. And I think that's what makes a really great human being, is that if you truly care about the person that you're spending even 5 minutes with and making your time with them mean something and make it special, that's what I'm going to miss about him. And I believe Dom said it perfectly, is that you got to tell the people that mean stuff to you how much they do actually mean to you. Even if it's been 10 years, 15 years, if somebody had an impact on what you've done or what you've become, you should always let them know that. I wish I had told Nick that more, because he was always a great inspiration to me.
Tina, what you're going to miss the most about Nick?
Well, I have to second the hugs, because when you're that tall, your arms wrap all the way around something tall like me. And just his grin, and it's amazing. You see the videos of his son, Elvis, and you can see him, and you can see his father in this baby. And just the grin, it's that smile, and we got to remember that when we're having, you know, we're working at something that we care about. Just remember that smile and use it, like Don said, like, just work, just keep working and keep doing things and remember that.
I tuned into Zach Braff's podcast just after Nick passed away, and I don't know how he got through that podcast, but he shared many of his memories of Nick, and especially the very painful ones near the end. His big message to everybody was, take this pandemic seriously. This disease is indiscriminate. It doesn't matter if you are the dearest, kindest soul. Take it seriously. Wear a mask, social distance, all of that. Remember Nick when you're doing those things.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a big message for people down here. I mean, the state is kind of exploding right now, and there's still people who don't, frankly, give a shit about this thing, and it's people who haven't been touched by this thing, people who don't know anybody. Like, there's people out there who are like, oh, I come in contact with thousands of people, and I don't know one person. I'm like, well, that's good for you. That's great. You know? Unfortunately, I know a friend who's passed away now. I had another friend who's gotten it. I know maybe 10 people who've gotten this thing.
The whole attitude of, oh, it won't happen to anyone that I know or to me, I think that's not the attitude you have to have. You have to think about beyond your own little circle, because it can happen to you. It can happen to somebody that's close to you and that you've formed relationships and have a strong bond with.
Nick became kind of the face of this thing for everyone that knew him.
I just really have a great deal of respect for Amanda, for being as strong as she was through this, like, unbelievably terrifying time, and just watching all this stuff happen to Nick. It was just mind-boggling to see that she was still smiling every day.
Amanda's been a superhero through all this. So I want to say thank you to Dom Zamprogna, Matt Stewart, Dave White, and Tina Trainees for joining me on this call. Unfortunately, Dom's cell phone dropped out partway through this interview. Matt and Dave and Tina, any final word for our listeners before I let you all go?
Big hugs to Amanda for really being a true champion during this pandemic. The way that she stayed strong for so many of us, like myself, who's going through, you know, I have durable terminal cancer, and this pandemic has been really hard. And I have to say, her Instagram posts every day have been a real great beacon of inspiration for me. So big kudos to her and big hugs. And it's just been so difficult to watch over the past couple of days as she's dealing now with her grief. And I just wish her and Elvis and their family all the best.
Thanks, Matt. Dave?
In the vein of what we've been talking about, I just wanted to say to everybody that went to theater school and knew Nick and knew me and knew Lila and Matt and Tina and Dom, I miss all you guys. And I hope that maybe something like this, even though it's like super sad, but maybe a good sort of wake-up call to reconnect, talk to people you haven't seen or heard from in a long time. You never know when you'll never get that opportunity to do so again. We wish that we weren't having this pandemic right now, because I think a celebration of Nick's life would be great, to have everybody actually physically together to be able to just celebrate him. Fortunately, we can't do that right now. People always say don't live in the past, but you also shouldn't forget the past. So I hope you're all doing great, and I miss you all a lot.
Big hugs.
Thanks, Matt.
Tina, any final thoughts about Nick that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think he taught us to sing. We can't hug, so let's just all sing, no matter what you think your voice sounds like. Just make some songs and make some music and just keep singing.
And live your life, as you would say.
And even though he's not on the call right now, thank you, Dom. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Dave. And thank you, Tina, so much for sharing your stories and memories with Nick. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure our listeners do, too. I hope you all stay safe and keep well.
Thank you, Lila, for having us on.
Thanks, Lila.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Big cheers, Lila. Good to hear from everybody.
Yeah.
My pleasure. Thank you, everyone.
this world's gone crazy. I might have too. It's changing. So why do I keep starting over? If I live my truth, I'm living just for you. Breathless, I'm racing for the finish line. I've been running high, I've been running low, I've been running. I've been running high, I've been running low, I've been running. Running from. Oh, I don't know. Turn on the news and cry. Why should I care? There's nothing to give me hope, yet I keep going. Do I laugh it off, or do I face the truth? Breathless, I'm further from the finish line. I've been running high, I've been running low, I've been running. I've been running high, I've been running low, I've been running. Running from. Oh, I don't know. I've been running. I can't keep running. I've been running high. I've been running low, I've been running. I've been running high, I've been running low, I've been running. I've been running real high, I've been running real low, I've been running and running and running. I've been running high. Running from you. Running from you.
This is The Hawk, 101.5 FM, online at 1015thehawk.ca.
You are listening to Center Stage, a celebration of musicals from both the stage and screen on 101.5 FM The Hawk with your host, Lila Miklosh. If you want to stay up to date with the show, you can always join the Center Stage with Lila Miklosh on 101.5 FM The Hawk Facebook fan page or follow me on Twitter at Lila Miklosh. That's at LYLAMIKLOS. Or follow me on Instagram at @TheReal_LilaMiklosh. This special edition two-hour episode is dedicated to the late Nick Cordero, a beloved star of Hamilton's theater arts community. We just heard him sing Running from the musical Mary and Max. Next, we will hear him sing from a concert he gave at 54 Below in New York City. Here's Nick Cordero with What a Wonderful World.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful
FM. The Hawk is on the air.
She did, I hardly heard that I'll change one night. Told me she gonna show me good, take her ass to Hollywood, where the bright lights go by. Said screw the left and screw the right, burn straight ahead tonight. Oh, watch me shine. I stood all night there on the curb, hearing voices, Charlie heard in my mind, and they said why. Shine.
tell somebody I lost my way. I can't think of a more petrifying thing to say. Right now looking at the red horizon, girl, I'm telling you, oh, 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 ain't nothing this wide-eyed man won't do. And they say, why deny such a good thing? It's gonna pass you by.
You're listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
I'm Lila Miklosh, and you are listening to a special two-hour edition of Center Stage on 101.5 FM The Hawk in celebration of Hamilton's Broadway theater star, Nick Cordero. We just heard one of his original songs, The Moment is Right. In the last conversation with theater artists from Hamilton, who knew and worked with Nick Cordero, his friend Dominic Zamprogna was unfortunately cut off at the end of the call due to some cell phone reception issues at his home in Los Angeles. So I called him back, and I'm glad I did. He's going to have the final word about Nick Cordero as we close off this special episode that, of course, must end with Nick's anthem, Live Your Life. A motto you can see that Nick Cordero truly lived, as we have listened to the many wonderful stories from all his friends. A big, huge thank you to Aidan Johnson, Amanda Zamprogna, Angela Burley, Brian Gedke, C.A. Smith, Carrie Beale, Christine Baring, Daphne Moens, David Daler, Dave Shuttleworth, Dave White, Dean Holland, Dominic Zamprogna, Dwayne Gordon, Kathy Zaborski, Kelly Lovett, Linda Yamamoto, Matthew Stewart, Regina Darling, Sarah Mintz, Selena Jones, and Tina Traney for coming together and sharing their memories of Nick Cordero. Listeners, stay safe, keep well, socially distance, and wear a mask. It's the least we can do to honor Nick's memory.
I wanted to make sure Dom had a moment here to share some final thoughts about Nick with our listeners.
My mom passed away, and her symptoms were very similar to what put Nick in the hospital. And ultimately, she didn't make it either. You know, when people go into a hospital and get put on breathing tubes, you just don't really know anything. You don't realize how many things can go wrong. And very similar things went wrong with Nick as did with my mother. So unfortunately, my experience, it was just all too hauntingly familiar. We were all really trying to stay super positive, but you have this thing in the back of your mind saying, like, he's not out of the woods. Still had this whole hope every day. I'd meditate and think about Nick. And every night before bed, you'd think about Nick. And every morning I woke up, my daughter would come and ask me about Nick. And my sisters and I would text each other all throughout the day. Whenever we spoke, it'd be all about everything going on. And then, how's Nick? 95 days of him being on everybody's mind. And then when it ended, it was just so heartbreaking because he lost that tough battle. And I guess bad things happen to good people, you know what I mean? And he was one of the best. You kind of come away from these things thinking life isn't fair, and it isn't. Bad things happen to good people, like my mom and like Nick Cordero, two of maybe the greatest people I've ever known. But I think people who didn't know Nick should know that someone once said, like, great actors, people with great presence can take up a doorway. And it wasn't just because you're a size, you're a big guy like Nick was. Like, short people can take up a doorway too, but Nick did it figuratively and literally speaking. Just his personality and his charisma and his charm and his smile, his ability to make everyone feel like you're the only person in the room. When people can do that, it's so rare and so important in life. So you had a guy who was immensely talented, an amazing presence and charisma, who was a hell of a nice dude, who had a family. And that's what I think we should all be thinking about, his beautiful wife, his beautiful son,
his sister Amanda, his brother Matt, his mom Leslie. Like, imagine the pain they're going through right now, and we all feel as touched as we do. Imagine how they're feeling. That brings me to tears, usually just thinking about them. What a life he had. He lived more than most people, I think, in 41 years than people do in double that time, accomplished more, and affected more. Maybe I'll leave it at that.
I think that's beautiful. Thank you, Dom. I'm glad I called you back.
Well, I'm glad you did, too. But, you know, he's up there with his dad now, which is awesome.
Yeah, that was my one little bit of comfort there. I know Eduardo's got you with him right now, and you're looking after each other, and maybe you're having a session together.
Jam session, man. I mean, I remember there was a year his parents went away, and we'd all go to his house. It was during theater school. Like, and we were all over there, like, all the time, just hanging out, playing music. Those are the things you remember about those great theater school days when everyone's kind of young and just trying to figure it out. You know, it was good talking to you, too, Lila. Like, I appreciate that you're reaching out to everybody and putting things together, and I appreciate you, just so you know.
Oh, touche, my friend, touche.
And I loved you reminiscing about falling in the orchestra pit, too. I wasn't going to bring it up, but you brought it up the other day.
It's my claim to fame, Dom. I guess the important thing is, and Amanda's kind of proved that with everything she's been posting about family, 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 and your family's a huge example of what's really important in life. That's the solid, right? So thank you.
For
thank
sure.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you back up in the hammer.
That would be lovely.
Listening to CIOI The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
The following podcast contains defiant content that may be disturbing to some audiences. Listener discretion is advised.